2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. This is the reading of God's Word. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the Word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word tells us about our Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done, and what he has accomplished for us. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let us hear your voice, loving voice, telling us about what you have done in your Son Jesus Christ for us. Oh Father, as we hear your word, cause our faith to grow. Let us be more and more like your Son, and let us live that life, the glorious life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us witness our Lord, no matter where we are, no matter what we do. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It has been a few weeks, but we did look at these verses last time when we looked at 2 Corinthians. We saw that the salvation of God is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. We have been recreated by God in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. From glory to glory, God's glory fills us and God's glory covers us. Do you remember the psalm we looked at last week, Psalm 8, verse 5? Yet you have made him, a man, a little lower than angels, and you crown him with glory and majesty. Even from the very beginning, God created man in his image. Man is given the communicable attributes of God, the attributes of God that he shares with men. Incommunicable attributes of God, like infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, God does not share with men. But when man sinned, man completely lost some of the communicable attributes, like holiness, and the rest of the communicable attributes are tainted or corrupted by sin. Thus, we could say that the glory of God has departed. But the salvation is the opposite of that. God's glory is given to us. It covers us perfectly and completely. God's image is perfectly fulfilled in us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God or image of God. has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. When we are saved, we are not going back to how Adam was before he sinned. Yes, Adam was made in the image of God in the beginning, but the time in the Garden of Eden was a testing period. If he would have obeyed God perfectly, then he would have been glorified. His state, even before he sinned, was not an eternal glorified state. When we are saved, we are not just made a little lower than angels anymore, but we are to be resurrected to a glorified state. We are not like the first Adam, but we are like the second Adam, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Adam was created in the image of God, but Jesus is the image of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4b, way at the end of that verse, Christ, who is the image of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, And he, meaning Jesus, is the radiance of his glory, God's glory, the exact representation of God's nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8a, it says, But of the Son, God says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. There God the Father says to God the Son, Your throne, O God, clearly shows that Jesus Christ is God. The Father calls him God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15a, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus himself is God. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So in the beginning there was the Word, and Word was with God, and Word was God, but this Word became a flesh. He became a man. Jesus is God himself. Adam's glory was reflecting of God's glory, but the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God itself. We are recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. His glory completely fills us and perfectly covers us. To borrow the language of Romans chapter 13, verse 14, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are clothed with Jesus Christ. And Jesus alone has accomplished this. He alone has accomplished our eternal salvation. What did he do to accomplish this? I'm borrowing many languages today. To borrow a language of a pastor. The first Adam, from the dust of the earth, he was made in the image of God. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, even though he is God, he, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Do you see? The first Adam was made in the image of God. But Jesus Christ, our God, so to speak, made in the image of man. He became a man. The first Adam, he was made by God as the ruler of the earth. When God created first Adam, he said to him, "Rule the whole universe." He created him as the king. Jesus Christ, even though he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he came as the servant of all. To serve. The first Adam, he was made to shine the glory of God. Jesus Christ, he appeared as a man with all the weaknesses of man. The first Adam, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Jesus Christ, he bore our sins and died on the cross. Our Lord, Jesus Christ, even though he is God, became a man and bore our sins, then died on that cross. So that you and I will resurrect from the dead and be like God. We are saved to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. From glory to glory. We saw this already, from sufferings in this world to the glory of heaven. He came to serve, not to be served. Thus we must be like him. So we read in verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bond servants for Jesus' sake." We are bond servants to one another. Now, another way of understanding this is that we are called to be like Christ because he came as the servant of all. Mark chapter 10, verse 42 through 45, calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." For all of us, to whom the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ shone in our hearts, now we live the very life that our Lord Jesus Christ has lived. Thus, let us not lose heart. And verse 2, "But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Understand what Paul is doing here. He's telling us that we are members of the new covenant, and we have become members of the new covenant by the grace of God. It is God who has shown that light in us, that we may understand the truth. Now, we are the new creation. We have been recreated in the image of God. And he's telling us the reality of that, what that state is. Now, if we are this kind of people, then what do? We renounce the things hidden because of shame. We don't walk in craftiness or adulterating the word of God. But what do? We, by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You and I, we have renounced the things hidden because of shame. Adam and Eve hid themselves after they have sinned because they were shameful. You and I, we are saved out of that shame. And we must renounce the shameful hidden things. And we do not walk in the craftiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness." Walking in craftiness is to be like Satan. It's like saying, you know, do whatever it takes to get whatever we want, even if we have to sin, even if we have to compromise. You know, the world will look at that and say, whoa, he's smart. It passes as smart, being a wise person, that you could compromise here and there so that you could get what you want. To lie and cheat. But we only care about results. But see, God cares. It's not just however you make money. When you bring that money to God, God is pleased. How you make that money must please God too. Adulterating the word of God. We saw this picture before. It is adding water to the wine, diluting the wine with water to make more profit when they sell the wine. In the context of what Paul is speaking here is that adding that concept of salvation by works to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is adding the knowledge and wisdom of this world to the Word of God. Some pastors sound very wise. They know a lot of worldly knowledges. You know, they even say that. In order for you to be a really good pastor, you have to know everything. No. Pastors, if they could only know the Word of God, that's truly enough. Yeah, so if you come and ask me all these other things, you know, what kind of business is good these days, I don't know. What kind of major you should take, I don't know. But I pray that by God's grace that I will be able to answer you when you say, what does this passage mean? It's adding the teaching of salvation by works to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, we are not like this. Then what do? How do it? It says, by manifestation of truth. Only the truth, only the gospel. Even if it does not bring the success of the world, it is not the fault of the truth. If this church continues to preach the truth, and this church never be successful, it is not the fault of the truth. We cannot blame the truth. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Not many will receive the truth, but we do not lose our hearts. Only the truth, only Jesus Christ, only the grace of God by faith, commending ourselves to every man's conscience, it says. And this is very, very important. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience. We preach the truth, and whether they receive the truth or not is up to the Holy Spirit. It's not up to us. We do not have power to convince the sinners of the truth, nor we do want the sinners to fake it. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience. Why? Because verse 3 and 4 says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They will not receive the truth. But you and I, we do. Why? Verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is what the Bible says. We preach the truth. Whether they accept or not, that is not up to us. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience. We do that by manifestation of the truth. We preach the truth. And our job is not to convince them. Only God could do that. Our job is to preach the truth whether people receive it or not. We dare not adulterate the word of God to make it easier for sinners to accept. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jew a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For all of God's people to whom God has shown in their hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ will receive the truth and believe. Truth is truth, even though, you know, my foolishness, my stupidity is mixed with that truth, still truth is truth. And God's people will receive it and believe it. You see, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So do not lose heart when people don't receive the truth. God said they will not receive the truth. But do not lose heart. You know, we love Paul because his ministry was not that easy either. When he preached, people did not receive what he was preaching. But he's telling us the truth. He's showing us what is really happening. Our job is to continue to preach the truth. And everything that Paul does, he does it with a clear conscience. We know that we are preaching the truth. As far as our conscience is concerned, we're not adulterating the word of God. But by this, we could tell that there are some people who actually know that they're adulterating the word of God. They know that if they tell the truth, people will not receive it, so they will change it. So that it will be easier for people to receive what they're saying. Brothers and sisters, I know, you know, you have very difficult task as you go to your friends, as you go to your family, telling them of the truth. And you're so frustrated because they will not listen to you. They will not accept what you say. Do not lose heart. Even when Jesus preached, so many people wanted to kill him. And if Jesus, you know, had that difficult time of convincing people, definitely you and I will. But understand what is really happening. Understand what's really happening. Our job is to continue to preach the truth. And when you continue to do that, you know, maybe not a lot of people, but one or two will hear you, and one or two will agree with you and rejoice with you. Everything Paul does, he does it with clear conscience. And this is very, very important. We have to do this with clear conscience. There's no mixed motivation. Only motivation we have is to preach the truth. Now, we're not perfect, so sometimes we'll get it wrong. But as far as our conscience is concerned, that is purely our motivation to preach the truth. And God will help us to understand when we get it wrong, He will correct it. He's not going to leave us alone. He will tell us. He will teach us. Even through non-Christians, He will teach us when we got it wrong. I come out here every week. I preach. Because what I say, I believe it to be the truth. Otherwise, I would not preach it. I'm not saying what I preach is 100% correct. And I'm not saying the way I do preach, or like how I preach, or the expression I use is just so perfect. No. But I know in my heart, what I preach is the truth. And that's how you live your life too, I know. We're not there to convince sinners, even if it means we have to water down the truth. We get that temptation because of our love for these people. You know, we want them to really know the truth, so we have that tendency. You know, even if we have to water it down, why not? But that is not how Paul says it. We don't mix water to wine. We give pure wine. even if it is hard for people to accept. Paul does it with clear conscience. Chapter 1, verse 12, we read this already. For our proud confidence is this, testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. See, he did everything according to how he should do, and his conscience is clear about it. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. And this is what we must do. We know when we adulterate our, you know, the Word of God. We know when we do wrong. Because our conscience is bothered. Let us do this. We do with clear conscience what we do. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience, whether they accept or not, that's a separate issue. Why does Paul mention conscience here? Again, he is comparing the old covenant with the new covenant. In the old covenant, it was all about outward appearance. It was all about outward rituals. All judgment was outward. The new covenant, Jesus says what? If you look at woman with, you know, lustful heart, you have committed adultery. Now, just think how difficult it was for Moses to judge that. In the old covenant, as long as you do not physically commit adultery, then you are holy. You did not commit adultery. But in the new covenant, even if you did not commit physical adultery, if you have that lustful heart, you have committed adultery. It's about conscience now. See, in the Old Testament, it's all about outward rituals. And that's how the world is. They judge by what they see. Only outward. But Paul brings in conscience. In the Old Testament, those priests, you know, today's language, in the Old Testament, pastor, even if he doesn't believe what he preaches, he could just still do his job and it will be okay. But not now. Because obviously, if you don't believe what you're preaching, then you're going against your conscience. You're not free of your conscience. But now we do all in the sight of God. Verse 2, remember how it ends? By manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We do everything in the sight of God. He looks at our hearts. Thus we must do everything with a clear conscience. But here we must be careful. Because even our conscience can deceive us. Yes, we must do everything with clear conscience, but remember that even our conscience can deceive us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, "For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted." Just because you have a clear conscience doesn't mean now you're okay. But nevertheless, it's very important that we do everything with a clear conscience. "But the one who examines me is the Lord." You know, how can this be possible? How can our conscience be clear, finding nothing against ourselves? It is possible only in Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 13, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh," in the Old Testament, if that was true, "how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Do you understand? The blood of Christ even cleanses your conscience. We know we're sinners. We know we're never perfect. But all our sins are cleansed. All our sins are forgiven. That we are able to stand before God with clear conscience. Now, obviously, when you flat out sin, you're not going to be clear. You don't have a clear conscience. But your clear conscience is possible because of the blood of Christ. Only in Jesus Christ we are confident that all our sins are cleansed and forgiven, that we are righteous in God's sight even now. And this is what Paul tells us. Verse 1 through 6. Well, in chapter 3, he was comparing the old covenant with the new covenant, and how more glorious the new covenant is, and how we are members of the new covenant now. And he told us that in new covenant, we are transforming into the image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory. And how does this happen? Well, God who said, "Let the light shine," he's the one who shone in our hearts this light to know the glory of God. It's nothing less than the new creation. And how are we to conduct ourselves? Our verses tells us. We are, by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Do you understand the flow of our passage? Brothers and sisters, join me in preaching and teaching the truth, the gospel, with our clear conscience. Never adulterating the word of God. Never using the wisdom of this world or the knowledge of this world. And abandoning this shameful things in our lives. Brothers and sisters, when we do this, it's going to be a difficult life. For this world is against the truth of God. But never lose heart, brothers and sisters. Everything is according to His will. And when we get to next section, which I can't wait to preach this Korean worship, 12, 15. It is just amazing passage. I read the rest of chapter 4 before you come next week. Never lose heart, but continue to serve our God by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let us continue to preach Christ and Christ alone, no matter how many or how few receive the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do this until we go to heaven. We do this until we meet our Lord face to face. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we give You all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, we thank You that You have saved us out of darkness. You made us Your sons, the citizens of Your kingdom. Let us renounce the shameful things in our lives. Oh, Father, let us never adulterate the Word of God, never using the wisdom or the knowledge of this world in preaching the truth and teaching the truth, spreading the truth. Oh, Father, no matter how many, no matter how few will receive what we say, let us continue to be faithful to the truth. Let us be faithful to You. Spreading the truth with clear conscience, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Bless us and bless Your people and receive much glory. We thank You and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.